So yesterday I was doing, I wouldn't say my customary exercise, but I was exercising, and I was on that elliptical machine inside a garage, and I was listening to a book and a lecture about some sociological religious topic, and then my cell phone falls down and smashes. And there's a whole broken glass right on the front. And the funny thing is I hate these things. Like, I've always hated these things. And I got one under, I got two things under obedience. One was a car and one was a cell phone. And the reason why I have a cell phone is because this is the necessity of the world we live in. Right? Like, you can't be a priest and not have a cell phone. People are going to call you, people are going to try to email you, and the kind of culture we live in is that if they don't get a response in 20 minutes, they start having a heart attack. They start thinking, oh, does Father hate me? Does he reject me? Is he angry at me? It's like, no, I'm just too stupid to come up with an answer that fast. So just give me some time and I'll think about it. But this, what drives me nuts about it is the perceived necessity. And anybody that gets to know me after a while, and my mom just has learned how to navigate this, anyone tries to give an imposed necessity upon me, they get the blank stare. You can insult me, you can punch me, you can insult my friends and family members, I will laugh. If you tell me that something is necessary, I will stare at you and say, bring it. And this is exactly what's happening in today's first reading. You're having members of the sect of the Pharisees saying that it is necessary for people to be circumscribed. It's like going around the issue. No, they have to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. They have to be circumcised. And you can understand why they say this. The practice of circumcision among the Jewish people is a symbol of faith. It's a symbol of the covenant. It's a symbol of everything that God has done for them. So it's only natural that for a person who's, for a culture that's been doing it for over 1,000 years, for all these new Christians to be joining a covenant of faith in Jesus Christ that comes from the old covenants, it would seem a natural, logical progression that to become a part of this Jewish group, you have to become Jewish yourself. It's a very natural progression. But it's wrong. It's wrong. It's built on the presupposition, unconscious as it may be, that God is still separate from this world. In Christ, God has entered the world and has absorbed is a bad word. He has recapitulated everything in himself, which means that anything legitimate comes from him and is perfected in him. And that you can jump natural means to get to the supernatural goal. The covenants of faith in the Old Testament were meant to lead the people of Israel into the experience of faith in Christ so that they would know who he is when he preached. But like a tool that is used when you get the finished product, you don't need the tool anymore. You can keep it in your garage, but it's not necessary. And the most frustrating thing of all is then to be the grandkids of a dad with a tool or a grandfather with a tool who demands that the tool be treated with more respect than the object that it created. And this is the beginning of the problem, that people are often in the habit of proclaiming necessities. And in many ways, and where they're from, these necessities are very real. For Jewish Christians, circumcision is just as important as having cord and veil sponsors for a Filipino wedding. They're nice, and the people who are getting married into these cultures might find it strange and weird, but it's all a part of being integrated into the community. This stupid thing is a part of being integrated in our modern society, just as that stupid thing like a car. I can imagine a much happier life of me just wandering around the streets, visiting people with whom I have a local connection, and being able to do as I did when I was growing up in Manitoba. If you want to find somebody, you walk to their house and you speak to them. It prevents a lot of pointless, superficial conversations when you can actually take the time to speak with people. But that ain't the world we live in. And so the realizing that there's two different worlds, there's the world of men and women, and there's the world of God, and they do not get blended, but in Christ they are united. This is a Christological formula, that the human nature and the divine nature of Christ, even though they are united, are still distinct. United and distinct. That there is a difference between nature and grace. But you can't have grace without the nature, because obviously, if you do not actually, what's the point of being saved if your nature isn't being saved? But there is that moment when you realize that the nature is insufficient to do what the grace intends to do. Now, we will discuss tomorrow why we have laws and practices and regulations, etc., is to teach the limitations of the natural. But that's for tomorrow. Today comes about setting people free from the overbearing character of natural expectations. And this is why we see in the history of the church a constant development of practice. Because the nature of the conscience of people who are celebrating the sacraments does develop over time. There was a time when the sacrament of reconciliation was only permitted to be celebrated once. And it was done publicly. After about a year or 2 years of public examination on the nature of the sin, the Middle Ages were like, that's too tough, we ain't doing that anymore. And they also said, and people should be able to come to reconciliation as much as they want. I personally think that's a good development. But you can go back to the first one. There's so many different ways in which Catholics say to each other, you have to X. Avoid it at all costs. That's how you become, as Paul calls, rather unfortunately, but it's more forgivable for him, Judaizers, Filipinoizers, Frenchifiers, Scottishifiers. All of those different people that would try to absorb the fullness of the gospel into their own local culture can't be done. God is bringing us into his household, which means that we will be able to be authentically ourselves in his household, but it also means that we have to give other people the space to be authentically themselves. There is only one necessity, and he is God. And we must be very careful not to set up false idols in his presence. Because if we start making the conditionals part of the discipleship as such, we will be turning a whole lot of people away. And I have spoken to many, many people who have a hard time entering a church door. And you know, very often what prevents them from coming in is a rule that their parents, uncles, teachers, priests have made that ain't in the gospel. There is only one thing, Christ and the power of his resurrection, to encounter him in the breaking of the bread. This is what we need. A lot of the rest is details. And that is why we have the beautiful gift of the church. We are bound together, culture, nationality, society, economy, all of these things around this one fellowship of faith. And very often I'm pretty sure that when you've met people, they've said things to you, they've done things to you, and you've just kind of gone, what on earth is this person's problem? Absolutely offensive behavior. And then over time you realize, oh, he actually meant nothing by it. And according to his culture or their culture, they were complimenting me. You really learn how relative culture is and how the necessities of life are not what we should be feeding on.